I think it was you who first helped me realize that there will be work eternally on the new earth. Isaiah 65 makes this pretty clear. Can you break that down for us, that passage? You know what I think. Yeah. You know what I'm referring to.
Oh, I do. Yes. And, you know, Isaiah 65, Isaiah 60, Ezekiel 47, Isaiah 11, there's a number of these new earth passages that are there that we often, those of us who believe in a literal thousand-year millennial kingdom, we often make the mistake of limiting them. We'll see these passages, we'll say, well, that's millennium. That's a millennium. Okay, well, the millennium's just 1,000 years, and Daniel 7 repeatedly says, forever and ever, serving him and his eternal kingdom. It says that he will take the earth, and God's kingdom will be the ultimate one that replaces all these kingdoms that preceded it. You got Babylon and Medo-Persia, and you got Greece, and you got Rome, and then ultimately God is going to replace those earthly kingdoms with another earthly kingdom, which will be heaven on earth, where Jesus will reign over the earth. Isaiah 65 alludes to that, but it's even more explicit in Daniel 7, because you've got, and then God, Christ, the Ancient of Days, entrusts to the Son of Man, Jesus' favorite name for himself, the Messiah, the care of and rule over the earth. And then it says that he entrusts it to his people, and the saints of God will reign forever and ever. Well, that's reigning is working. A king doesn't have nothing to do. He has a great deal to do. Now, he delegates responsibilities, but that doesn't mean he sits around and does nothing. I mean, a good king is actively involved. He goes out and sees his people and spends time with his people and all of that. So working is what we will do. I mean, I don't mean we'll never rest. Of course, it's depicted as rest as well. But even our work, I think, will be restful.
Yeah. One of my favorite passages of scripture, one of the most inspiring visions for work, I think, comes from Isaiah 65, verses 21 through 23. This is a picture of the new earth. Randy, you know this way better than I do. Correct me if I'm going off base here, but it's a picture of the new earth. They will build houses. You talk about us. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. And then it goes on to verse 23. They will not labor in vain, right? So
right.
If you're having a bad day at the office today, you can lament with hope that one day even work will be new. It'll be perfect. It'll be just as Adam and Eve experienced it prior to the fall, right?
Exactly right. And what happens, Jordan, is that people will, and I have cited this passage many times, read from it, and they say, oh, well, that can't. That's not heaven. That's earth. You know, so,
right.
And that's just the millennium. You
right,
know,
right,
well,
right.
No, you got to get straight in your mind that God is going to bring heaven down to earth. How do we know that this is really about the new earth? We'll go back to verse 17. He says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. That's synonymous with new universe. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. That means God created the universe, because that's all there is. All the material existence, the entire universe, he created. And then he's going to recreate and resurrect. And I think resurrect is the best word for it, because it's just like people say, well, no, wait, 2 Peter 3 says the earth's going to be destroyed.
Right, right.
Right. Of course it's going to be destroyed. So our bodies are destroyed, right? In this life, when we die, there's people that died thousands of years ago, right? And
right.
So God is going to resurrect their bodies that were destroyed. God will resurrect the earth that's destroyed. And we know that to be true because 2 Peter 3 says it explicitly, that the elements will burn with fire and this whole earth, it'll be destroyed and all of that. But it doesn't end there. It says,
right.
Therefore, we are looking forward to new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, a redeemed one. You know, so we sometimes make the mistake of thinking that Satan pulled off this great victory against God. He defeated God somehow. And Genesis 3 messed up God's plan forever. So even though God explicitly says he wants Adam and Eve to rule the earth, to have dominion over the earth for his glory, it's as if we think, oh, well, only two people ever experienced it, and that
right,
for a short
right.
period of time, and then God's plan was foiled forever. No, Jesus came to fulfill God's plan, not to reverse it or say, okay, well, I've come now so that I can drag people's souls off into a ghostly existence for all eternity. No, he came to bring a kingdom to earth. And then people say, oh, but wait, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this earth. Well, it wasn't at that time.
Right.
But the point is, he is going to bring his kingdom to earth and will enjoy it forever. But the Isaiah 65 passage, people will just say, well, yeah, but buildings and all of that. Well, that's just, that's not heavenly stuff. That's earthly stuff. Well, God made us to live on the earth. And the promise of the resurrection is that we will live on the earth and do what he intended us to do forever.